The news continues to roll fast and frequent regarding Alec Baldwin and his shooting of, well, they're calling it a prop gun. Now the belief is it was a real gun being used as a prop gun during the filming of a scene, which resulted in the death of the film's cinematographer, Helena Hutchins, and the injury of the film's director. Criminal charges against Baldwin are still being considered, including voluntary manslaughter. Wildlife rounds were in a prop gun. Again, assumed to be a prop gun, which had misfired at least twice during filming. That's still being investigated. Why that gun wasn't made unavailable? That's also a question in search of an answer. The assistant director, who had been fired from a previous film for safety violations, confessed to police he did not fully check the gun before he handed it to Baldwin and shouted, "Cold gun," which means the gun is not a danger. It also spotlights an interesting situation. Well, that's the film director who was sent to the hospital. He was the person who hired this assistant director. The armorer, that's the official title of the person whose job it is on a film set to manage prop weapons. That person had mishandled prop weapons on a previous film project. Going back to Baldwin, he's been fully cooperating with police. He's been interviewed by them numerous times. Crew members, turns out, were using prop guns with live ammo hours before the fatal scene was to be filmed. And this is confusing to many in the film industry, although it's also making it more and more clear to some that a real gun was being used as a prop gun because the film set protocol calls for prop guns to stop working if a live cartridge is loaded into it. And by the way, I have a message for those who are turning this tragedy into a Get Baldwin movement of some sorts. You know, with jokes, memes, even Donald Trump Jr. selling t-shirts about it. And okay, you might think you're being funny. Well, you're not. When you make a joke about this tragic story, you know what you're doing? You're making a joke about the death of Helena Hutchins. Who? I mentioned her name before. She was the cinematographer who was fatally shot in all this. I know she's been made easy to forget, because her name now doesn't appear in the news reports on this until maybe the fifth or sixth paragraph, if at all. Saw this quote from Dave Brown, who's a firearm safety specialist. If actors make a mistake on the set, they get another take. If the weapons handler makes a mistake, it could end a life. It did. Here's how things are supposed to go on a film set. On a safe production, each firearm is inspected every time it changes hands. Means every take, of every angle, of every scene. Same prop gun can be checked and rechecked dozens of times just in one day. Live ammo, without question, is never supposed to be on a film set. Aside from the actors during a scene, the firearm specialist is the only person who handles the weapons and the only person who can open them for full inspection by cast and by crew. And it's not just about keeping the cast and crew safe when there are firearms on the set. You have to make sure people know the weapon itself is safe to use. Once a firearm is inspected, make sure it's empty, ready to handle. It's shown to both the actor who's going to work with it and any other cast member who may have the empty firearm pointed at them. In the film sets, the person most responsible for safety, they're usually called the first assistant director, and as a result, they also inspect the firearm. That's something the director, producer, camera operator, cinematographer might oversee as well. Every person on the set, cast and crew, has the right to inspect a prop gun. But the specialist is the only person who will hand the firearm to an actor to be used, and the specialist is the same person who receives it back when the scene is done. It's also standard protocol for a firearm to be empty for the majority of takes. It's only when the camera needs to capture the gunshot that the firearm is loaded with blanks, which that's a special cartridge designed to burn gunpowder out at the front of the barrel of the gun. The hole at the end of the barrel is known as the muzzle, and because a blank contains no projectile but an excess of gunpowder, that brief ignition, that creates a muzzle flash. So that's what gives the scene the gunshot effect. Blanks, however, are always loaded into prop gun at the last possible moment. For that, a safety meeting is called with everyone, cast and crew, to explain proper procedures, and eye as well as ear protections issued if it's required. Due to pressure from the explosion, particles of burnt, unburned gunpowder that flies out of the barrel, blanks can also be dangerous at short range. That hazard, of course, decreases greater the distance. This is why blanks can be relatively safe to use on films if proper procedures are followed. But when a gun's muzzle flash can be simulated with a computer, replica guns can be substituted in place of real weapons, why use blanks or prop guns at all? Well, the reason filmmakers say it, it's storytelling. When used correctly, properly, prop guns enhance the story, make the action more realistic. They have the right size and weight, and when loaded with blanks, they also have the sound, the recoil, just look realistic, as opposed to trying to simulate it, special effects. This comes into play since the film where the shooting took place is considered to be, by Hollywood standards, a low-budget production, so how many of the corners in the journey I just described were cut? These and other protocols were created following the shooting deaths of actors John Eric Hexham and Brandon Lee over the years, purpose being clear, just as you would at a shooting range or in your home. Treat any gun as if it's loaded and never point it at someone or something unless and until you're ready to use it. Maybe this is why some states make it more challenging to get a right to carry permit. Just to show you how varied that process can be state by state, there are only 2% of adults here in New Jersey, as well as in New York and California, who have right to carry permits. In states including Georgia and Alabama, that number is greater than 15%. Might surprise you to learn in Texas, that number is only around 10%. Now, I thought it was more too.